In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here with this magnificent group of inspirational, amazing, creative, beautiful, spectacular, magnificent, limitless beings of pure positive love and acceptance.
Wow.
Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Are you feeling the shift in energy?
Oh, yeah.
This is just the beginning. This is just the early stages. All of the things that you're working through now, many of you know what they are. You know what this information is. You have a higher perspective on how the universe works. You have information that few others have access to. And you're going over it in a different way, in a way that is more powerful, more productive, more effective. Learning things from the basis that it is your complete and absolute unique perception of reality that creates your reality. That perception can be modified. And so that when you see things differently, when you see them from a higher perspective, well, now you have access to the information that you had known previously in the books that you read and the teachings that you were interested in. And you're bringing that forth and integrating it into your lives in a way that your manner of being is changed and is changing and is just beginning. And as we go along over the next few weeks, you'll be integrating more and more and more of this information, and it'll start to make sense to you on a cellular level because you're not learning this from scratch. You're remembering it. You knew it coming in. This is the basis of this existence, of the non-physical existence, and of all the lives you've ever had previous to this. Everything is accumulated to bring you here right now. And so you are able to bring forth the information and place it into your life in a way that is now focused in the direction of what you want rather than on what you did not want before. And so as you're going through life, you thought, well, I could complain about this, and in the complaining of that, it will get better. And it never got better. It just got more prevalent. And what you're doing now is you're saying that I need not consider that wrong anymore. I need not consider any aspect of me, of other people, of the world around me as wrong. I can see it as part of my journey to where I want to go. Because you can't understand where you'll be in 6 weeks, in 2 years, in 5 years. You can't imagine what is possible in that amount of time. You have been living your life trying to create and control conditions on your own without leveraging universal forces. And now you're learning to integrate those forces so that what you truly want starts to unfold. And so as things pop up in your day-to-day life, like as things are popping up for Gary, as things are popping up for Wendy, as things are popping up for all of you, you look at it differently and you say, okay, this is part of the progress. It seems as if this shouldn't be this way. But I can't understand how it is for me. I can only have faith that it's moving me along. Because if you were able to look back at your life from where you were, say, a year ago to where you are now, certain things had to happen to bring you to this point. You had to experience certain manifestation events. You had to alter your beliefs. You had to get to a place where desire was so strong that you were ready, willing, and had the time and the money and the inclination and the inspiration to join this group of people and to do this work. And if any of those things had not have happened, you wouldn't have come here. And so it's the growth from where you were, we'll say 12 months ago, to where you are now, that has been this journey of expansion. And if any little tiny bit of it didn't happen as it did, then it's likely that you would not be here now. And so you might look back and you say, I regret having done that, or I resent that that happened to me. But in the appreciation of all those moments, you can understand that you got to this place right now.
Okay, this is that.
You can understand that it doesn't matter what's happening today because it's all creating this pathway towards where you want to go. And you're either resisting it and thinking it's wrong or holding on to the belief it's wrong or talking to others about how wrong it is or wishing it was different than it was or accepting it as it is. And this acceptance is your key to unlocking the life beyond your wildest dreams because you can't even understand what that life is from your perspective right now. Your perspective is limited enough so that it is not possible for you to see where you'll be in 2 years. And so it's not possible for you to make goals and make decisions and make ideas on your own about where you're going to go. It's really not possible for you to make clear judgments about what's happening right now because in the limited aspect of who you're being right now, you don't see the broader picture because you're a vibrational match to what's happening now. And what's happening now is perfect. It has to happen. It has to happen now. Every thought that comes to your head has to happen now. Every emotion that you feel has to happen now. It's all part of the progress. So there's no use in wishing it was different because you don't know where you're going. So wishing it different doesn't make any sense. The only productive thing you can do is look at it from a higher perspective, is to understand that the emotional pain in those things that you think is wrong is simply your limiting beliefs coming forth to provide you with this fear and have your inner self show you that this is not something to be afraid of. This is not something that's wrong. That raise your vibration, you'll feel a bit of relief, and you'll understand what your inner self is saying as you go along. So this idea of trying to control everybody and yourself and everything, it's just resistance. It's just resistance. And you're going to let loose of that resistance as we go along. And we will say that things will get easier. And when we mean easier, we mean that you will adopt more ease in your life. And that's the key. That's the only thing that will ever matter. Your adoption of ease. You're saying to yourself, this is not wrong. This is okay. Everything's going along. I can't see how it's going to work out, but I trust that it is. Everything is fine. Everything's going along. Everything's good. This is for me. You will learn to do that so easily, habitually, reflexively, that soon you'll be at this place where you won't give it another thought. Something bad happens, you change your mind. You change your perception. In the moment. You won't have to do all the writing. The writing is the exercise for now. That's going to be integrated. Of course, you can continue to do a daily practice for the rest of your life to focus your thoughts, to do your meditations, but you won't need to take 2 pages of paper and write down every single thing because it'll be an automatic process in your mind. When you get to that point, that's when we say things will be easy for you. And with that, we would like to talk to all of you. Who would like to go first?
I would. Thank you so much. Gosh, I feel like the call could end right here. And we could just take away so much from that alone. Oh my gosh. What I wanted to for you to talk about, if you will, is I'm fascinated by the idea of connecting to my inner and to in that open dialogue, that open communication, and hearing that. And I understand that with continued meditation, that gets clearer and clearer. And I'm just wondering if you can say anything else on that, how to, I don't want to say speed up the process, but, you know, I don't want it to take a year before I start. I want it to feel like I want nothing more in my life than to have that open dialogue with my inner being.
Excellent. That is a natural process. You were not meant to be here on your own. You were meant to be in constant communication with your inner self. And of course you are. Your inner self is aware of you in every moment and you feel emotions in every moment. So there is no minute, no moment, no millisecond that you and your inner self are not fully connected. And you can know that by your emotion. Every time you feel good, it's you agreeing with your inner self. It's your inner self saying to you, you are looking at life from a perspective that is similar to mine. And when you feel negative emotion, it is your inner self telling you that you are looking at life in a way that does not empower you towards that which you want. And so that connection cannot be broken. There is no one on earth who doesn't feel emotion. You all feel emotion in every second. You could not skip a day without feeling emotion. So your inner self is always there. Now, your inner self is always communicating. Hear it? Well, that is up to you. That is something that you can move towards. And meditation is the best way that we know. Also, getting a pad of paper, getting in front of a computer, and typing your thoughts. Typing those thoughts. Practicing typing those thoughts. When you are feeling good and you are emotionally connected, you can just write. And what you write will amaze you, because that will be the communication with your inner self. You can lay in bed at night and you can think a thought or ask a question, and the response to that question will be your inner self at every time. It's never not there. It's always there. You are just not believing it's there. You are just thinking it's your own thoughts coming back to you. You are just feeling as if it's yourself talking back to you, which is exactly what's happening. But your thoughts are derived from your inner self. And your inner self is communicating with you all the time. Now, if you feel happy and relaxed and calm, and you ask a question, that question will come in a thought response. And that thought will feel like your own thoughts. All your thoughts feel like your own thoughts. They all feel like the same thoughts you've been thinking your whole life. The same tone. You might wish that your inner self would speak in a different voice so that you could know that it's your inner self. But we say you don't need to know, because the content of those thoughts will be clear enough to you that you will know that it's coming from somewhere outside of you. All thoughts come from somewhere outside of you. You attract thoughts. And when you are in the vibrational frequency of your inner self, those thoughts come forth. And if you are in a negative emotional state of being, you're attracting urges to change conditions. So all you need to be aware of is how you're feeling right now. Are you at peace? Are you at ease? Are you feeling comfortable? And that's when the thoughts can come to you. So practice them. You can all practice that. And this is something that is very, very easy to do. And once you get practiced at it, it'll get clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. And Gary has practiced it at it enough now that it's easier and easier and easier and easier. When he first started bringing us forth, he would have to set up certain conditions. He'd have to meditate right before. He'd have to close the door. He'd have to make sure there's no music on, that there's no outside distractions. He thought that the communication could be broken. He thought that maybe it doesn't show up this time. And after 5 years of doing it, we come through every time. His inner self comes through every time. It's all coming to you, flowing all the time. Just as you have practiced through meditation, working on the ability to slow or stop thought, you know that thought is always coming to you. And so communication is always there whenever you ask for it. And it is empowering to just simply ask for it. Ask for the thought and see what comes back. Ask for the question. Ask the question and see and listen to the answer. And practice and practice. It's natural. And the only reason you don't think you can do it is because you don't think you can do it.
Thank you.
Excellent. Who else would like to talk?
Joshua, I have a question. Yesterday is Deborah Jo and I were talking about knowing the difference between a true desire and wanting to change the condition. So I came up with a for instance. If someone wants to have oatmeal every morning and they want you to have oatmeal with them and you don't always want oatmeal, are you going to go along, allow them to have their oatmeal while not eating yours and them getting upset with you? How do you know when it's your desire versus trying to change conditions? Because some would say by not eating the oatmeal, you're not expressing your love or you're withholding love. But in another moment, you might want that oatmeal. So how does this work on an ongoing relationship with relationship?
What you truly want are those intentions you set prior to your birth. You truly want to love and accept others, yourself, and the conditions around you. So anytime you are finding it difficult to love and accept those around you, you are discovering some resistance. And you believe that the solving of that resistance would be in the manifestation of that which you think you desire. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
You think that if this person would just do this differently or be this way, just in this moment, I'd feel better. And so my desire is for that person to be different than they are so that I can feel better. That's a false desire because you didn't come here to have others create conditions so that you could feel good. You came here to learn to accept everything internally so that you could feel good. Do you see? So yeah. You can say to anyone, you do what you want to do, and I'm going to do this. And if you have a problem with that, then that's something that you can solve internally. But if you ask me to be different than I am, you ask me to eat the oatmeal with you, but I want to have scrambled eggs, I'm going to do what I'm inspired to do. And that inspiration on this one day is for the scrambled eggs. And maybe tomorrow it'll be for the oatmeal. But I don't need you to have scrambled eggs with me, nor do I need to have oatmeal with you to feel aligned. Nor do I have to have you be different than you are to feel better, to feel aligned. Nor do I have to be different than I am to feel better or to feel aligned. And if you stop playing the game of, I need to be responsible for other people's alignment, then you can just be more aware of the inspiration that you have to do what you want. So one day you might be inspired to join them for breakfast and have oatmeal. And the other day you might be inspired to go out for breakfast and have scrambled eggs. And you are not needing the other person to join you because that isn't part of the inspiration. Now, what if the inspiration was, I'm looking forward to having breakfast with them, but they want oatmeal and I want scrambled eggs. So now that's a choice you make. What was the inspiration? The inspiration was to have breakfast with them. So who cares what you eat? You're saying that if I have breakfast with them, I'll have to eat oatmeal. And so a fear pops up when you have that inspiration. And so you try and fix that fear by saying, well, if we had scrambled eggs, then I could have breakfast with them and solve my fear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. Deborah Jo, do you have any more on this that you could add?
What we were trying to figure out is changing the conditions. It seems like we were trying to change the conditions.
In what example? What were you trying to do to change the conditions?
But you said it. We wanted the person to be different than they are.
Right. You wanted them to have oatmeal with you?
No.
You wanted
them. We didn't want to eat their yucky oatmeal.
You didn't want them to have. You wanted to have something else with them, right? So the inspiration was to be with them, but the fear was that you'd have to eat the yucky oatmeal in order to be with them,
right?
And so, in order to relieve that fear for you, you said two things: either they'll eat scrambled eggs with me, or I'll eat scrambled eggs without them. Right. And so you've let the fear win in both cases instead of the thing you were inspired to do. Now, the thing you're inspired to do is to eat with them. It doesn't matter what you eat. And you'll actually find that the oatmeal will taste better than ever, or that they'll change their mind at the last second and order scrambled eggs. You see, it's always for you following that inspiration. Now, it could be you follow the inspiration, you have the breakfast with them, and then you can get into a huge fight about oatmeal. And that, too, is for you because that's a manifestation of it that shows you a limiting belief that shows you you care about breakfast. Who cares about breakfast? You want your inspiration was to be with this person. And yet the fear popped up, as it always will, during any inspiration that you receive.
Sorry, can I cut in there? Wendy, I'm so glad you brought this up because I constantly get confused between desire and controlling the conditions. And so what I'm wondering is, when someone makes a suggestion and you decide against that,
why would you decide against the condition? Why would you decide
against it? Because you don't prefer it.
Well, do you not prefer it? Or is there some small fear, some tiny little fear that pops up?
So when you decide you don't prefer something, that is thinking it is wrong?
Well, that is not thinking it's wrong, because there is no wrong. And there is no wrong way to do this. But to offhandedly succumb to your fear without processing that fear. So let's say that you're invited to a party. And that invitation comes to you based on the vibration that you're offering. Now, those things that come to you like this are for you in some reason. But generally speaking, fear will come up at the same time. And so you'll have to look at the fear. The fear might be, I have nothing to wear. The fear might be, there's going to be a person there that I don't like. The fear might be something, something, something. So you look at the fear and you say, is this a rational fear? Am I going to die by going to this party? So the rational fear is no. Now something's come into your life. You've attracted it. You've attracted this invitation. And we're not saying that you have to accept all invitations. What we're simply saying is that there's a fear around that. And what your work now is to do is to process those fears, to not offhandedly limit your movement forward to the life that you want to live. Because at that party that you were invited to, there is something for you there. There might be someone you meet. There might be a good time to be had. There might be a million different things going on. But if you saying, I don't want to go because I have some fear about it, well, that is just reacting and judging and having this dualistic approach to life where that comes to me, but it's not for me. And so I shun that I have attracted. In the shunning of that which you attract, what you're saying is that the universe got it wrong, that the universe made a mistake in this one case. Do you see what we're saying? Mm-hmm. These are the little nuances of life that you are offhandedly discarding because you think that I can control this situation, I can control that situation. Now, we are not saying that you have to do everything that's presented to you and that certainly there are preferences that you have, but those preferences that you have are often based in limiting beliefs and this desire to control. And so we say, think a little bit less about your preferences and more about the intentions you set prior to your birth. And your intention is to be one of complete and absolute acceptance of what is without trying to control it. So imagine life where you accept everything as right. Everything is right. You accept everything as right. In that acceptance of everything is right, you engage universal laws and energy to create the life that you were born to live, that you intended to live. And so you need not concern yourself with the things you think you want or the things you think you prefer, but only concern yourself with what is in this mode of absolute acceptance of what is, of every little aspect. And we will say to you that your life right now, all of your lives right now, is 98% control and 2% acceptance. And you are moving as you inch that over a bit to 97% and 96% and 95%, your life is gonna dramatically change in the direction of what you intended. Dramatically change, dramatically change. Gary's life has dramatically changed, yet he is, we will say, in that 90% control still. But that 90% control is a magnitude better than he was 5 years ago, where he was 99% control or 100% control and accepting of nothing unless he thought it was right. Right? And that's control also. So we say, an invitation comes, accept it. A phone call comes, accept it. A person says something to you, accept whatever it is. Do not judge it, just allow it. Allow more. You might never make it lower than 90% control, but it is such a different level, a level higher than you can imagine, a level higher than almost anyone else on the planet is living at, unless they have absolutely no control anyway. And it's still, there's control involved in that. And as you are living in Western society, and you have access to control over so many things, we ask you just pay attention to what it is that you're saying no to. That's all we say. Just pay attention to what it is you're saying no to. You can say no to less, and you can say yes to more. And as you move towards acceptance, your life unfolds as you intended it to.
Can I ask you a question? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Like, why can't you just say, I don't want to have oatmeal. I want to have eggs. Like who, first of all, who cares if someone's feelings get hurt?
We don't care about the feelings. We have no care about the feelings. What we're talking about is your inspiration. You have the inspiration to connect with this person at breakfast.
Okay.
Fear will always rise up, will always pop up. And the fear is, I'm not going to enjoy myself eating oatmeal.
Okay.
So then you discard the inspiration. The inspiration that came to you from universal energy, from source itself, the idea that you could be moving forward to living the life that you dreamed of, and yet you say no to it. No to that inspiration.
Well, take away the oatmeal analogy, Kimmy, and look at, maybe go from this point. Like, if somebody says, Kimmy, I want you to go to this party with me, and you're just like, I just really don't want to go to this party. But if you don't go to this party with me, it's going to jeopardize our relationship. Then what do you do?
That's a good question, because it's coming up right now in my life. I got invited to this event next Wednesday night by the woman I bought my Audi from. And she's like, oh, Kimberly, it's going to be great. My fiance is there, blah, blah, blah. He connects to all these people. I'm like, mm-hmm. And then they sent me an email, and they're like, tell a little bit about yourself. And I was like, I'm Kimberly. I sell medical device, period. Sent it off. I'm not a writer. I'm not a fan of writing. This is what you get from me. And I'm like, I don't want to go now, because now they want me to write a little blib about myself.
Do you feel the resistance in this? Does everyone feel the resistance?
Yeah.
Is it obvious?
Yes.
Yeah. So obvious.
And so all we're saying is take a look at where you're being resistant, because where you're being resistant is
everywhere, is the
breaks that put the hold on the life that you dreamed of living.
Okay.
And in the acceptance of everything that you can possibly accept is the pathway to the life you're dreaming of living, the life you truly want to live.
By going to a networking event.
By going to whatever you're invited to.
Okay.
Excellent.
That's interesting.
We're going to talk more about this resistance.
Okay.
We're going to ease your idea of what is right and wrong. Who'd like to bring up something else?
I would. Sorry, Gary, I would. Sorry, Joshua, I would. That all of that, this and what Kimmy was saying. There's a lot of me that's just going, oh my God, I'm going to be a doormat. I don't want to be a doormat. So it's really bringing up a lot of like,
Everywhere
in my body.
Is the doormat the creator of your reality, or is the doormat the victim mentality?
It's definitely victim mentality, yeah, definitely.
So that is a limiting belief. Mm. That if you're the creator of your reality, and if you are the center of your universe, and if everything revolves around you and comes to you to give you what you truly want, then you have to understand that you can't be a doormat. You can't be taken advantage of. It's not possible. The perception that you were a doormat in the past, or the perception that you were taken advantage of the past, was a false premise. It never happened. You were never taken advantage of. You were put into situations where you could expand, where you could uncover limiting beliefs, where you could come to this information, where you could learn that being the creator of your reality means that no one outside of you can create how you feel. And that feeling of a doormat is a self-induced limitation and feeling based on your desire and focus on behaving like a victim. Being the victim, victims receive situations where they perceive that they're being taken advantage of. Being a creator, you receive no ever indications that you're being taken advantage of. Ever. It's impossible. As the creator of your reality, you could not possibly perceive that you could be taken advantage of, or that anything that came to you was wrong, or that anything that happened is wrong. You can feel the fear, and that's one thing, but you have the ability now to process those fears and to look at those limiting beliefs. But without the limiting beliefs, it'd be impossible for you to feel any negative emotion or to see anything from the eyes of a victim. It would simply be impossible. And so when these thoughts of being a doormat come up, you have to know that there's a limiting belief there. And you have the chance right now to work on that and to write that down and to process that. And to say it's perfectly acceptable to say no, as long as I understand the reason behind that no. It's perfectly acceptable not to act on inspiration, as long as I understand the fears that are popping up and I can process those fears. But to do this unconsciously and blindly and go forward in the attitude that things should not be the way they are is never going to solve your issue. It's never going to bring you to where you want to go.
So basically, anytime I'm inspired to do something, and if I say no, so like going to that party or going somewhere or, you know, eating oatmeal or, you know, going for a walk, if you say no, it's that somehow there's a fear there that you haven't processed because you're
Are you ever inspired to write?
Yeah.
And do you ever not write when you're inspired?
Probably not. When I'm inspired, I do it.
Right.
but I don't have fear around that.
You ever procrastinate?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Right.
So do you ever procrastinate around writing?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe at times I do. Yeah.
So you have the inspiration to write and you say, no, this is happening now. I'll write later. No, this is happening now. I'll write later. Those are tiny little fears that you don't even realize are fears. And they're popping up anytime you're inspired. And the writing is the thing, the inspiration in this moment that will lead you to the unfolding of the life that you truly desire. And the fear is just that thing that's limiting you from becoming who you are. And so as you can see, the processing of these fears as they come up is the work that allows you to be less resistant and move closer and closer, closer and faster, faster, faster along that path. Imagine resistance is like the brakes in your car. At times, those brakes are necessary, but they're not necessary when you're on a highway going from point A to point B when there is no issue, right? Mm. And the fear makes it seem as if conditions are dangerous, and so that it's appropriate to apply the brakes. But it's a sunshiny day out there, and everyone else is speeding along at the speed limit, and here you are going 1 mile an hour because you feel the fear. Right, and you're applying brakes when it's irrational to do so. And if you were driving along on the freeway and someone was going 1 mile an hour, you would perceive that person is irrational. Mm. Right, and so what we want you to do is understand that these fears are irrational. It's irrational not to write when you're inspired to write. It's irrational not to do whatever you're inspired to do when you're inspired to do it. Now, we're very confident that you will never get over this resistance, and that you will have more and more and more times where you notice inspiration and you succumb to the fear. And we're saying in little instances all day long, hundreds and hundreds of times when you're inspired and you say no to the vast majority of them. The big ones that you feel real inspiration, you go towards. You take the first step. But the little ones you say no to. No oatmeal. No breakfast. No party.
Yeah, definitely no oatmeal.
Live smaller. More resistant means a smaller life. So more resistance is a smaller life. Less resistance is a larger life. You okay. did not come here to live small lives. And if any of you have any issues in life, it's because you're living so much smaller than you intended to live. And those are manifesting in unseen problems, this push and pull between living the life that you were destined to live or who you really are, and the resistance of being small and considering the fears to be important. And that inner conflict manifests itself in all kinds of ways.
So Joshua, what I'm hearing you say is basically step one is to be aware that everything that comes to us is for us.
Step one is to maintain your alignment so that you can be aware.
Okay. Step one, maintain alignment. It comes to us. Be aware that it's come to us for a reason.
Step two is there is no wrong. So if it comes to us, it must be right.
Okay.
Right. Mm. Step three is to be aware that you attracted it based on the vibration you're offering now, which includes in that vibration the intentions you set prior to your birth. The unseen force that's moving you towards the life you've you intended to live when you came in. And so the resistance to the perfection of what's happening at every moment is your idea that things should be different than they are in order for you to manifest what you think you want. And so if it looks like you're not getting what you think you want, you're having a tantrum. And the tantrum shows up in your negative emotions. The baby is hungry and isn't being fed. And so kicks and screams and wails until it's being fed. Now that's a rational fear, isn't it? Right? But you do it in, you think that this paycheck should come in. And if it doesn't come in, you have this irrational fear that your abundance is tied to this paycheck.
Right.
Right?
Man, that's like shit. So many things. Wow.
Well, look at it this way. In real estate, you were working with buyers. Mm-hmm. And the buyers were moving on a journey towards buying a home. Towards that journey is a certain number of days. And there would be a certain number of manifestation events along that time. But everything had to happen in the way it had to happen to calm down everyone's, to make everyone vibrationally ready for the sale, whether it was the buyer, the seller, the realtor, the title company, all these things. And so those people who had the most invested in it had the most manifestation events and had the most panic attacks and worry and sunk into their fears because it seemed to them as if the closing of the house wasn't going to happen. And so they had fear. When it seemed like everything was going along smoothly, they had no fear. You see? But the moment something popped up that they needed to address in their belief system, they felt the fear. Now, they saw a new perspective one way or the other. Either they changed their limiting belief and said, it'll be okay, it'll work out. Or they changed their perspective and it worked out. That's just how everything is manifested. And when it's big things, you can see these manifestation events. And when it's little things, you tend to say, it's just not what I want to do. It's just not my preference. It just shouldn't be this way. It's just a phone call to fix it, that sort of thing. It's just a lawsuit to fix it, that sort of thing.
Wow, okay, so this runs deep.
Yes, the idea here is to be comfortable with the concept of absolute acceptance. There's two ways to live, in absolute fear and control or in absolute love and acceptance. As the creator, you are embracing an approach to life of absolute love and acceptance, of absolutely everything is good, that there is no wrong. In the approach of fear and control, you're approaching life as a victim, as you have to be careful, you have to be cautious. You have to be limited. You can't step out of bounds. You have to be safe because bad things can happen. And so we're saying that there's a choice here. You either choose victim or you choose creator. You either choose control or you choose acceptance. If you choose acceptance, it means the absolute acceptance of everything, not the acceptance of some things, the absolute acceptance of everything as good. You don't have to get here today.
Yeah.
You can get here tomorrow. Tomorrow will be fine. Get to the absolute acceptance of everything tomorrow, and your life will unfold as you intended. But you will continue to bump up against what you think you can't do, what you think is not right, what you think is too much, what you think is too scary. You'll keep bumping up and bumping up. But if you get good at this one little practice, then you can move through those things and see things in a different light. This isn't a conversation for the unconscious. This is a conversation for people ready to live life to the fullest, to the full capacity of those intentions they set. Not to the fullest compared to what your society deems as good or exciting or whatever. It's the fullest based on you, on your intentions, on what you are gravitating towards, on what makes you feel good, on what your passions are, on what your talents are, on where your interests lie. Moving towards that, knowing that this group here, there is no more powerful group in the universe. There's no more no one else in the universe who knows as much as this group does. There are no one outside this group that has this information. This is the group. Those who didn't make this group are not ready for this group. This is group number one, and you're part of group number one. And no matter how limited you see yourself, those limitations are untrue. You are so much more magnificent than what you see. You have to feel this. You have to get this idea that Wendy is not the limitless one, and you're all watching Wendy. You're all equal. You're all equal. Gary's not the limitless one, and you're all watching Gary. You're all equal to Gary. You can all do what Gary's doing in your own way, in your own interest. And when you do things that align with what you're learning right now, things that may be different than what you're doing, you are going to uncover fears, yet feel satisfaction and exhilaration. This is what you're coming to do. This is why you're here. And your example is going to lead others, because others are seeking what you are finding right now. Small numbers in the beginning, more and more numbers as we go along.
I had a quick question about this, Joshua, about the power of influence that we have in alignment. I've been just a few observations from this week, and I feel that my work is my experimental ground, because I guess most of my manifestation events when I'm at work, I manage to keep my alignment most of the time outside of it. And I had two manifestation events that I used in my homework at the start of the week, where about my worthiness and fearing the consequences of certain conditions at work, which I processed. And I must admit, as I was processing them in writing, I didn't feel like I was necessarily finding the right answers. But this got me thinking, and I got more answers throughout the day as that was continuing to be processed in my head. But the short of it is that 2 days later, I had a positive manifestation event that was the exact opposite of where I received loads of praise and almost hailed as the hero of the situation, which was quite funny. So I kind of milked the moment and saw the irony and the sort of reversed of the wave, if you like.
So do you see the work here? The work is processing these manifestation events, realizing that they're not wrong, realizing that you have a simple limiting belief, altering the limiting belief, not the conditions, and then the conditions change, just as they change for Arnaud. This is the exact example of what we're talking about. You change a little tiny aspect of your belief system and your reality response quickly.
It was quite significant. I mean, I never received that many witnessed that many signs that this had changed in just 1 or 2 days. Yeah. And this got me wondering about the role that was part of on a specific project that had a very big or seen as important implications for our team. So a lot of people in the team have got fears around it, because the result, their reputation depends on the results.
Right, so they're attaching an outcome to themselves.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Which causes them to sink in a lower emotional state of being, to feel fear. And in that fear, they receive urges to change conditions, but not the inspiration to do what it is that they do. In a state of calm that you were in, you received the inspiration that would make a difference in this case, that would support what you were doing. And so you You naturally flowed that inspiration, believing that it was your thoughts coming through, your ideas, and you did the action that led to the outcome that was aligned with who you were being. And therefore, you got the accolades.
Yeah, and also, I was wondering what my role had been in that specific project, because I contributed, but not as much in terms of specific outputs as other people in the team.
Yes, but and see, I really we want to say something here, is that one moment of contribution from an aligned state of being, the inspiration that comes in that moment, is infinitely more powerful than any urge to change the condition. And so while others were trying to fix things or change conditions or acting on urges, you were there in an aligned state of being, contributing a tiny bit in your perception, but that made the whole thing.
Yeah, I really did feel that the conclusion of what I was wondering when I was asking myself this was that I sort of kept the balance, the alignment for some of the people around me who kind of saw that who came to see me for reassurance.
Right. Your energy sort of calm was inspirational to them. Yeah. That's how you teach. You teach through your example of alignment. And as they see you being more aligned and being more aligned and being more aligned, then they will seek that themselves. And you will see a difference in how people respond to you and what comes your way, what offers come your way, what opportunities come your way, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's not about anything other than seeing yourself in the higher perspective of deserving the accolades, because you're the one that's doing the work to maintain your alignment. While they may be busy doing things, working late, that doesn't mean anything. It's the one who's maintained alignment, who acts on inspiration, who brings forth something of real power towards it, because whatever's being created is being brought forth from the non-physical to the physical. And so in the most aligned state of being of that group, the most magnificent possible manifestation of whatever your project is will come forward. And in the most unaligned state of being, the most fear-based state of being, will be the least effective possible thing that could come forward.
I've also come to realize that you can't really be complacent about that feeling of alignment and keep working on it, because it varies. Yeah. It switches over very quickly as well, and just you go back into the manifestation event.
And it builds momentum in both ways.
Yeah.
Exactly. So complacency is not what we're talking about here as the creative of your reality. We're talking about active participation.
Always aware,
in your own alignment. Excellent.
Joshua, going back on that again, the things that keep popping up then and keep reoccurring in our lives in different shapes and form, are those directly tied to our soul purpose, or they're just trying to get us to look at a limiting belief?
Yes. They'll happen many times so that you can see it from a different perspective each time.
Okay.
Yeah. And especially as you're working through some specific thing, whether it's abundance or freedom or joy or your life's purpose, you have to go through situations and manifestation events and a journey towards shaping your belief system so that you can become a vibrational match to that soul's purpose. And we will give you a hint here. It's all about seeing yourself from a higher perspective. Seeing yourself as not only worthy of your soul's purpose, but of the only one who's worthy of your soul's purpose, because it's unique to you, that no one else could be worthy of that. And so that there, for your soul's purpose to emerge, you have to realize that you're the only one who could do it. Mm. It could be it. And it's a matter of being. Are you being a way that matches your soul's purpose? Are you being, not, and we're not saying being good at all. Mm. We're saying being aware, being awake, being conscious, being paying attention to what's happening. being accepting of these manifestation events as they come, being open to what comes, being analytical about how you're feeling, being one who is meditating every day and doing the daily spiritual practice every single day, taking an hour a day to focus on your alignment. Imagine the power in that, 1 hour a day. Most people are taking 10 hours a day focusing on their misalignment. You're taking 1 hour a day to accept what's happening, to appreciate what's happening, to be grateful for what is happening, to be setting intentions for generally what you would like to see happening, generally. Imagine the power in that.
I'm beginning to see it.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. Would anyone else like to talk?
Hi, Joshua.
It's Pernilla.
Hi, Pernilla.
I'm wondering a lot about worthiness and kind of trying to figuring it out in an intellectual way. One specific question is, how does feeling worry, how does that physically feel? And do I do it, even if I don't know about it?
What are you really good at?
Cooking.
Excellent. Do you feel worthy cooking? Do you feel confident that you can put together something that people will enjoy?
Yeah, yes.
Yes. So that's what worthiness feels like. Now, okay. Do you feel, what's the one thing that you do in your daily life that you don't think you do well?
Being a parent.
So that's what unworthiness feels like. You see? So you are basing your opinion of yourself on some judgment where you say, I could be better in this situation. I could improve. I wish I was as good as X, Y, and Z. I should read more books on this. I should be better. I continue to beat myself. That's unworthiness. Worthiness is, I'm an excellent cook. I cook delicious food. People enjoy my cooking. I can cook anything. If you give me a recipe, I can do it. Confidence is worthiness. Insecurity is unworthiness. So all those areas where you feel some insecurity, you say to yourself, this is a lie. It's absolutely false. There is no real evidence. All the evidence is a limitation that I have put in place based on my feelings of unworthiness in this area. And in that area, I've been proven true because that's what I believe. But all that is happening here is the universe is responding to your beliefs. Had you believed you were the best mother in the history of mankind, then you would believe, you would experience that. You would never experience anything that was contrasting to that, contradictory to that. That is your experience. You believe you're a good cook, so you experience people enjoying your cooking. You experience the bliss that you get while doing it. You enjoy going to the kitchen, that sort of thing. In every other area, there is some limitation there. And the only difference is you've been practicing cooking and practicing worthiness in cooking for a bit longer. But you can do this in every area because you are worthy. Every single one of you who has any doubt about yourself in any way, shape, or form, even if you say that it's true, it's false. 100%. You are absolutely worthy to do anything you want. When your child was a baby, Pernilla, did you look at him or her and say, this baby can't do certain things and therefore it's unworthy of anything? Or do you say, this baby will grow up to do whatever it wants to do, has the potential to do anything? You look at that baby, you said, there are no limitations on the baby. And then only as you grow up and people tell you you can't do certain things or that you're wrong, do you apply limitations to yourself. And so if you were in a childhood where you were told you were wrong or you were asked to be different than you are, then you chose that. And the severity of that caused you to be more or less naturally worthy feeling. And you could have siblings in your family who have different levels of worthiness. For certainly you can see that. And you could have friends who have different levels of worthiness. And you have areas, aspects of your life where it's all different. But it's all made up. Because like that little baby, you can do anything you want to do from this point forward, and you're worthy of it all. And in fact, the worthiness idea is so expansive that you can never get to the top of that. You can never understand it fully until you transition to the non-physical. And then you'll understand it completely. And you'll look back and you'll say, I understand where that idea came from, but I was given the tools to process that idea. And so I appreciate the progress I made in all areas of my life because I did the work to understand my worthiness and to not compare myself to anyone else because everyone else is unique and everyone else is equally as worthy as you are. But you have to do the work internally. Okay. And you can say, well, other people had an easier childhood and they were told they were great. And so it's easier for them to feel worthy. Yet those people are never going to find their way to this information. You had to have that feelings of unworthiness to get here. That's the only way you could have gotten here. Yeah. And that created the desire for you to get here. And so thank God you feel unworthy. But now that you're here, that's not going to fly anymore. You need to address that because you are worthy. And every time any one of you thinks you're not worthy or thinks that you can't do something or think that who am I to be this person, you must address it because it's not true. We're not going to pay attention to those things that are not true anymore. We're going to address them and prove them false so that you can live the lives you're intending to live. If you want to get what you want to get out of this boot camp experience, you have to do the work to understand your worthiness. That is the primary beginning, first step, stage one process of manifesting the life you're designed to live. You can't get anything else unless you understand your worthiness. And focus on the things you're good at and understand all the talents that you have and then chip away at the limiting beliefs on everything else. When you see yourself as who you really are, you're going to look at your life and you're going to say, this doesn't fit. And your life's going to change.
Yeah. I thought, because now you talked a lot about what you are doing, I thought the worthiness was more about what I'm being, but I can use what I'm doing also to.
It is about how you're being. How you're being as a chef is different than how you're being as a parent. Doesn't it feel different when you're involved in your passion? You feel bliss. You feel confident. You feel you can do anything. And then you switch your attention to parenting and you feel that you should be different than you are. Things should be different. You should get different feedback. Your feedback comes as a result of how you're feeling and how you're being and what you're thinking and what you believe. And that's your feedback. And you are being in a way that matches your beliefs. So when we say being, we mean feeling and believing and acting is being. And that beingness projects your vibration out to the universe.
Okay, so thank you.
Be love rather than being fear. Be accepting rather than be controlling. Be allowing. Be appreciative. Be grateful. Be the creator of your reality. Be these things. Know that you can do anything. Get up to speed with where we're going. You need to be bigger, bolder, and more authentic. Be who you really are. Very good. Would anyone else like to say something? Does this make sense?
This is great. This is like a whole new world.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Your reality is a reflection of how you're being. How you're being is a culmination of who you think you are, of how worthy you think you are, of what you think is acceptable for you. It's the culmination of your beliefs, your desires, your intentions, your feelings, what you think you want, what you think is wrong. It's all that. So if you're being in a way that is a lower emotional state of being, you're attracting that which responds to that. Does that make sense? If you're existing in this lower emotional state of being, you're being a lower vibrational person, and you're attracting based on that. And that's why we say the only thing you have to consider is how you feel. And if you are existing in an emotional state of being, it's because you are feeling some fear. The only way you can feel fear is by having a limiting belief. The only way a limiting belief gets triggered is because you think the things you want aren't coming to you, right? So it all ties in together. It is all starting to make sense now. The reason you want to be in alignment is because in alignment, the universe reflects to you how you're being.
Sure.
And the reason you don't want to linger in negative emotion is because the universe is going to reflect to you the essence of that negative emotion.
Mm. Wow. The hairs are standing up on my arm.
That means you're integrating this. It's a highly beneficial manifestation event.
It's just amazing. Like, it's so funny because every morning, you know, we do our appreciation, we do our grateful. And some mornings I'm like, I did this yesterday. Why am I having to do this again today? And now instantly, even after what I shared earlier about how resistant I am to going to that stupid networking meeting that I'll probably go to, is that, wow, so we are the only one that is getting in the way of us expanding.
Exactly.
So we decide to do it now and be stuck in it and be stuck in it, or we decide to just allow and be and accept and allow and trust and have faith and all these amazing things at the same time. And that is actually the determinant of what keeps us from expanding and expansion. So, I mean, that's what I learned already today on this call. Like, it's just every day it sounds a little different, and then one day it just starts to pop and really make sense. So, I don't know. For me, I'm really grateful for even just, I mean, like the whole course so far, but even today is like, wow, like me having all this resistance about going to a stupid networking event, which I'll probably still always call it the stupid networking event. But anyway,
let's say that the word stupid is resistant. And so if we can be accountable to how we're being, we can change that word. We can change that word and we can make it funny.
Right.
Make it easier. So what's a slightly easier word than stupid? Dumb. It's a dumb networking event, right? What's a slightly easier word than dumb? Silly. What's a slightly more positive word than silly? Curious.
Or even, you know, I'm actually being invited to this by my car salesman because she's like, oh, God, Kimberly, you're so bubbly. You'll have such a great time at this event. And I'm like, okay.
And if bubbly Kimberly goes, you will have a great time. And if resistant Kimberly goes, you will have a match to your resistance.
True. Right? So I've just like learned so much about so many things, even in today's call, like listening to Wendy's question, which I was so curious about that question and how, right? Like, I don't know if everybody is like,
that's
wow.
A high level question.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's really amazing. Like, even what we were talking about last week about how all of us in a day in a life of what we do, each one of us, how we have these, or we can have or not have, depending on our expansion, is these little teeny tiny little resistors or these things that we are resistant to all day long in our lives, right? The other day I was experimenting with my dogs, right? Because they bark. And part of me is like, dogs aren't supposed to bark, you know? But they do because they're actually my built-in security system at my house. Like, I have three black dogs. People are afraid of darker pets. And so it's not wrong that they're barking. It's really helpful because they're telling me that something is going on outside.
Right.
So
do you see, it's simply your perspective, right?
Right.
All you did was change your perspective.
The other day, every time I would start to get upset with them, I started laughing at myself because I'm like, wow, like just wow, right? Like I don't know. It was just such a big aha moment for me with my dogs.
That is a wonderful aha moment because it illustrates exactly the point we're making. Is that when you change your perspective and feel right. relief, you're engaging the laws of attraction.
Yes.
And when you consistently say that something is wrong, you're consistently resisting what is happening for you.
Right.
So your dogs are there to help you ease your resistance about all things.
True. Yeah. About all things. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
But we have enjoyed this interaction immensely. We couldn't imagine a more willing, accepting, loving group of geniuses to prove what we're saying is true, to take this out, to change not only your life, but the lives of those around you, to engage in a practice of allowing and acceptance where others would dare tread, because it is a different approach to life, and it was one that is not accepted by the majority of your population. But you are brave explorers, committed to living life as you intended. And with that, we are grateful for you. And we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.